Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Augusta Civic Center. I'm Travis Barrett, joined by Travis Zarjic and Drew Bonifant from the Kennebec Journal and the Morning Sentinel. Day number, I've lost count.
Six.
Six, all right. Drew's going to take a stab at it. He says it's six. I'm going to go with that.
I'll run with that.
All right, we're not going to quibble. What a night. So we had Class C South, regional semifinals, girls in the afternoon, boys at night, and the girls quickly. Number two, Monmouth. 45-32 over number six Richmond, and top seeded Booth Bay 53-45 over Madison. Booth Bay, of course, needed to they were down by as many as nine in the third quarter and ended up just kind of pulling away. They're battling some illness there, but really, look, the girls' games today just kind of paled in comparison to the boys' games tonight, which were just both of the instant classic variety. We kicked off with Winthrop and Booth Bay. Winthrop wins it on a three-pointer in the final second, 61-60. And then Haldhill needs overtime to beat Richmond, 76-70, after just a heroic performance from Zach Small from Richmond. Gentlemen, your gut reaction to what we saw tonight.
Just wow to see both of those winning teams come back from late deficits. Winthrop down by as much as 10 points in the fourth quarter and down still eight with just under 3 minutes to go, and Haldhill was down six with what, just over 2 minutes left.
Yeah, 207. Yeah,
and they flipped that around from a 6 point deficit to a 3 point lead with 40 seconds left. So,
and then lost it when Small hit
lost
3-pointer.
When Small hits the 3-pointer to send it to overtime. So, just some great basketball and stuff tonight.
Yeah, Drew.
It's rare that you have a game where both teams look both comfortably ahead and dead in the water in the matter of minutes. And Haldhill and Richmond were that way. I mean, Richmond looked like they were pulling away, and then all of a sudden they look like they're down to just a desperation try from Small. That goes in to tie the game. So it was just a wild game, swings back and forth. And I think we saw a lot from Haldhill in terms of their resilience. So we talked about this after the Trape game. That they proved they weren't a team that needed to, you know, get out to early leads and just kind of put teams away, that they could fight when things got tough. But I mean, this was a lot to ask, and they and you know, for one seed to show this kind of grit, I thought was impressive.
Yeah, I think for me, it's just by my count, I had Haldhill and Richmond swapping the lead 10 times from the midway point of the third quarter through overtime. That's incredible. On this stage, to be down by six when you're the top seed and haven't been tested a whole lot this year, if you're Haldhill, to be Richmond and see that lead slip away when you're the underdog, and you know you've played a tough MVC schedule all year and you've got some guys in foul trouble, no problem, we'll hit that three. Zach Small had 18 of his 37 points in the fourth quarter. Just amazing. And then for Haldhill to come out to start overtime as if none of it had ever happened and we're totally in control and we're going to play our game, win in overtime. It's just, you can't say enough about, again, this place was full, it was loud. Those kids, man, tonight, just what efforts all the way around. I mean, all four teams that were involved in the boys' semifinals tonight, man, it sounds like so cliche to say it, but they have every reason to kind of hold their heads high, and everybody left it all out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously disappointing. You know, you could try telling that to the team that lost.
Yeah.
You know, they're crushed and everything, but you're right. There wasn't a team that played in a Class C boys' semifinal today that can look at it and say, you know, we just didn't quite bring it all. We left something out there. No, this was all four teams that were just beat by teams that were better, or the two teams that lost were just beat by teams that were better today, and just executed near flawlessly when it mattered most. There were four teams that should be pretty proud of themselves tonight.
Yeah. Travis, let me ask you this. I think the consensus is what coming into tonight was that neither of these games were going to be close. Why were they so close?
Well, you have, four good teams. Mm-hmm. And in the case of Booth Bay, Winthrop, Booth Bay's coached by I.G. Pinkham, one of the winningest coaches in Maine high school basketball history, and he's seen everything. He's going to be ready for anything Winthrop throws at him. And his team was able to play aggressively from about the middle of the second quarter on and just attack the rim, work it inside and out. Kyle Ames had a fantastic night with, I think, 22 points. Mm. Hunter, what's Hunter's last name? Hunter Crocker. Yeah. Boy, it's been a long day.
It's been a long week.
He had 19, and you know, they spread it around a little bit, and they made Winthrop really work, which, you know, I don't know if Winthrop's had to work a hell of a lot this season.
Yeah.
In the case of Richmond, I think moving up to the Mountain Valley Conference this year after playing up in Class C, but playing a Class D schedule for the most part in the East-West Conference really paid off tonight. You could show that they weren't scared. They were ready for whatever haul they'll had, and I think if Richmond gets into this game last year, it's not even close.
Yeah.
But because they got that experience all season, they're able to hang right with the best team in the conference.
Drew, I thought one thing that changed in the Hallidale-Richmond game was when Hallidale got down by 6, one thing that they immediately started doing, and it did cause some fits for Richmond, and I think it allowed them to get back in it, was they really started to kind of trap them all over the floor and force them into some turnovers to help them get that, to turn that 6-point deficit into a 3-point lead late.
Yeah, I think that was Hallidale getting proactive, because it's easy to look at the way Richmond likes to, you know, get out in transition, get out of the break, and just really start, and you know, they get a rebound and they're down the other end in a matter of seconds, and you can look at that when you're the opponent and say, well, if they're going to do that, we have to make sure we get back. And it looked like Ranzel was thinking, well, what, maybe we give them some pressure, don't let them get it started. And it did look like Richmond wanted to go, and they had to kind of navigate through some traffic up front, and it did look like it threw them off the rhythm, and I mean, because there was nothing but their second half was nothing but in rhythm. I mean, it was, they were playing the game the way they want to with small, getting the ball, attacking the rim, and Hallidale just forced them to kind of tweak a little bit, adjust a little bit, and I think it did make a difference in the long run.
Let me ask, so all week we've kind of done the what have you learned about these teams, but you know, at this point in the tournament, with these teams that were left tonight, I don't know that there was a lot left to learn, but I'm still going to ask, maybe aside from, you talked about Hallidale facing adversity, Drew, and being able to come through that, did we learn anything about the two teams that won tonight?
I think, if anything, we just learned, and we probably already knew it, that they're confident.
Mm-hmm.
You know, neither team got rattled when they were down. They've been in these kind of games, and they stuck to their plan, and like, even, you know, Winthrop, 30 seconds left, they call timeout, down 2. They call a play designed for a certain man-to-man defense that they were expecting Boothbay to run. Boothbay comes out in a zone meant to keep the ball out of sharpshooter Jerry McLaughlin's hands, and rather than, you know, call timeout or panic or anything, they look over to Coach Tom MacArthur, and he's like, yeah, run it. It's going to work anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of teams would have been like, all right, what do we do now? You know, instead, they just said, we're gonna stick with what we're going to do because we're confident in it.
Mm. I think we learned that if you're going to beat Hallidale, you're going to need to start fast and finish fast. You're going to need to play. You can't take a big lead with 4 or 3 minutes to go and just hope to kind of wait it out, because they're going to keep coming. Their guys are going to hit shots. You know, Ash Nabbitt is a very tough late-game scorer. Alec Byron's a tough late-game scorer. Tyler Netto is, you know, kind of your definition of a clutch player. You know, he doesn't do much throughout the course of the game. He comes through with big defensive plays, big offensive plays when it matters most. So for Winthrop coming up, I mean, they know this. They've played the season. They're familiar with each other, MVC foes. But you can't hope to just kind of wait out Hallidale. You have to finish. You have to get up front, and you have to finish them off.
One thing I think I learned tonight, although I guess I kind of, like we were saying, we kind of already knew some of this, but one common denominator when you look at Hallidale and you look at Winthrop, two coaches that believe in the process right till the bitter end. They both talked in some form, Tom MacArthur and Chris Ranzel both talked in some form about our teams grew up tonight in this way or that way.
Mm-hmm.
We did things that we hadn't done before. We learned this about ourselves. That's process, and I think a lot of coaches talk about it, but when you get to this point, you're kind of done with the process, and you hear, how many times do we hear that, well, we've done it this way all year, or that's what got us here, and we're not going to change.
Exactly.
MacArthur and Ranzlow are constantly adapting. They're all about the process. They're about kids, even when you're 2 games away from winning a state championship now, right? If you win 2 more games, you win a state championship, they're still talking about the process of how their team can continue to get better every day. I think that is something that ties successful programs.
Yeah, and that's why they're still playing.
Yeah.
And yet you get the sense that they kind of go about it in different ways, where Tom MacArthur seems like a very hands-on guy. He's very, okay, here's what we're going to do. And, you know, you can tell the stuff that they practiced and everything. It just seems like whenever he gets an opportunity in a close game, he's calling timeout, making sure everybody's on the same page, making sure they know what to do. Ranslow said today, I don't like to call timeouts that much. I like to kind of let I don't like to micromanage the game. I like to let the players play. And you can tell he has a lot of confidence in his players. I'm not saying MacArthur doesn't, but he's got a younger team. He's got a team that has more people who are new to these types of situations. So, but the end result is that both teams have their guys playing. Playing as one, going to the right spots, doing the right things when the games matter, when the minutes matter most.
Based on what you saw tonight, are you either of you willing to make a prediction when it comes to Haldale Winthrop on Saturday night?
Nope.
I think I'll go with. I think I will go with one. Yeah,
young guys.
Yeah,
young guys. They never learn.
I mean, look.
Soccer bet.
I am hardly a fortune teller with these things, but I think Haldale showed just how good bet they are, because you tend to look at a one seed and look at how overwhelming they're gonna be against their opposition. I think we learn now that even if it looks bad against Haldale, you can't just say, oh, that's over, it's done. Too much work left to do.
Yeah,
because they're gonna finish it off. And I just think if they're more talented than Winthrop, I think that'll make a difference. So I'll go with Haldale in a prediction, but of course, now watch it be a 3-point game down to the wire, and then Nate LeBlanc hits a three to tie the game, and they win in overtime. So
I don't want to forget about the girls' games today. There were a couple of interesting things really quickly. You guys can hit on it if you want or not. Monmouth in Booth Bay. Travis has a great column right now. It's on centralmaine.com. But we're all gonna finally see the 1-versus-2 Booth Bay Monmouth matchup that we wanted to see. Monmouth today scored 1 point, not one field goal, 1 point in the third quarter. Still was able to come out in the fourth quarter as if the third quarter had never happened, pull away and beat Richmond. And, on the girls' side, so Booth Bay's without Faith Blethyn for most of the game. She sat until the final 2 minutes of the first half. Madison was in control. They were ahead by 7 at halftime.
Got it up to 9 early.
Got it up to 9 early in the third. But Booth Bay is more than just Faith Blethyn and Paige Brown. They're two younger sisters, Glory Blethyn and Kylie Brown. Huge spots late in that game, and they ended up pulling away. So, we're going to get Booth Bay Monmouth. I'm not making a prediction. Travis, do you want to make a prediction?
Just from their size, you would think Booth Bay, but if, Faith Blethyn's not 100%, yep. She certainly wasn't today, battling some illness. But Monmouth's also, been here. Well, they've both been here before. They're both, we're talking about the last two winners of the region. So I think it's good that both were kind of tested today.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking for a while now how they're both going to kind of breeze to this regional final game. But, they each kind of had to push it a little bit, even though the scores might not reflect it. They each kind of had their work cut out for them this afternoon.
Yeah, they sure did.
If Faith Blethyn is still slowed by whatever was ailing her today, I'm not making a prediction. And if she's healthy from whatever was ailing her today, I'm still not making a prediction. I don't, maybe this is me taking that path you guys are taking with the boys, but I look at both these teams and I just see reason upon reason why they can beat the other and not lose themselves. And it's got close game written all over it. I'm not going to make a prediction on that.
It does. I think it's going to be I think it's going to be kind of a scrappy, ugly kind of game. I think both teams are confident enough to try to be able to disrupt each other's flow. And so I think it's going to be a weird game, and I think it's going to come down to the end. That's really it for day six here. It was a heck of a day, a heck of a night, really. Just a couple of games that we none of us are going to forget anytime soon. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, Class A North. Regional finals. The girls are at 7. Messalonskee against top seeded Hamden. Messalonskee lost twice to Hamden. Both those losses in the first half of the season. And then in the boys' game, number 6, Madomic, continuing to try to make that Cinderella run to the regional championship. They also take on number 1, Hamden. Should be a couple of really good games tomorrow.
Underestimate Madomic at your own risk.
And Messalonskee's getting hot at the right time.
Yeah, I like Messalonskee on the girls' side. I like Hamden. I think they're going to be the top seed there that sees it all the way through in the boys.
Yeah, we hit on this yesterday with our recording then, but they looked really, really good against Coney. They were operating, firing on all cylinders, knocking down shots, battling it out inside. They just can beat you in so many ways. I'm not gonna write off Madomic. I learned my lesson there, but I will say that Madomic will have their hands full if we're going to win this game.
for Travis and Drew. I'm Travis. Thanks so much for listening. CentralMaine.com/sports or on Twitter, Facebook. Get caught up on everything you missed this week from the tournament. Get caught up on everything that's going to happen over the next couple days. We're down to regional finals, and this is the best time of the tournament right here.
I'd agree, yeah.
Gentlemen, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow night.